Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chapter 1, Madhya Kanda. We've been discussing over a couple of days Vishambhara. Lord Vishambhara is meeting with his mother, and he's adopted the mood of Kapila Dev. And he's it's a replay. You can say it's an instant, not instant, but it's a replay of the dialogue that took place between Devahuti and her son, her divine son, Lord Kapila, who taught the spiritually based, Bhagavan-based Sankhya philosophy, which is described in the third canto of Bhagavatam, the teachings of Kapila Muni. So the Vrindavan Das Thakur says, in the same mood of Kapila, Vishambhara was speaking to Mother Shachi and teaching the same things, teaching about Jiva Tattva and about Sambandha Gyan. And so what we've been discussing, he's at this juncture, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing the plight of the baby inside the womb, or we would probably say fetus, at the age of 7 months. At the age of 7 months, this living entity in the womb was, of course, alive for the whole 7 months. But now he becomes conscious to such an extent that he is able to compose and recite prayers to the Lord due to his previous, to his sanskaras. Probably did it many times. He had the habit of offering prayers to the Lord, remembering the Lord in the womb, offering prayers of deliverance and forgiveness, and promising to behave himself and dedicate his life to Krishna, and then suffering the torments and trauma of birth, and due to that intense suffering, some type of amnesia would overtake the baby, and he would forget all about his prayers, become enamored by his new association, mommy and papa and mama, and become the center of attention, and therefore think that he was God, and he was the supreme, and forget all about Krishna. And it's a cycle that goes on life after life. So at this point, we find this little living entity is in good shape. He's praying to the Lord. This is verse 225. And we left off where he was saying, "Okay, my Lord, I'm remembering you now, and I know I'll take birth, and I don't really care where I take birth. I'll take birth any place as long as I can remember your feet." And here he says, E matta duka prabhu koti koti janma pailan vistara prabhu savamura karma. O my Lord, I have suffered this way for millions and millions of births, koti koti janma, simply as a result of my karma, mura karma. Se duka vipad prabhu rahu bhari bhari bhara jaritara smriti take sarvaveda sara. O Lord, may those miseries and dangers come again and again, as long as your remembrance, which is the essence of all Vedas, remains intact. So he's saying, all right, I know it's miserable to live in the womb and to take birth and grow up in the world in any various species or form. That I realized, and I remember that. He has some remembrance now at the age of 7 months. And I don't care. Let those miseries and dangers come. But if I'm remembering you, then I won't feel the effect. They'll be coming, but I'll be thinking of you, and that will give me solace and comfort and relief. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he says, he has a purport here. The essence of all the Vedas is that a living entity constantly remembers Krishna. Is it Vishnu? Is it Smaratam Vishnu or something? Satatam. Satatam Vishnu Smaratam. One should always remember Vishnu. If he does, he will never face any kind of inauspiciousness. O Lord, even after falling into a miserable condition of life in this world as a result of my previous misdeeds, if your remembrance constantly remains awake within my heart, it will be most auspicious for me. That's the same verse is rephrased, but now is purport. In order to liberate forgetful materialistic living entities from their absorption in matter and arouse their inclinations toward Him, Krishna provides them innumerable threefold tribulations and miseries, which from the external point of view appear to be punishment. And people often say that, oh, if God is so kind and loving, why doesn't He simply liberate everyone? Why does He submit us or subject us to so many tribulations, body, mind, others, and nature, and all these difficulties? It seems that He's punishing us unfairly. From the external point of view, it appears to be punishment. But from the internal point of view, these are evidence of the great compassion of the Lord. And every step we become bewildered by the false ego of proudly identifying ourselves as the doers of our activities. And we remain constantly attached to sense gratification. But the bewildering illusory energy of the Lord, Maya, turns all our material enjoyment into an ocean of misery. Yet behind the severe prescription of being afflicted by oppression, punishment, and threefold miseries, the incomparable mercy of the Lord flows like the Falgu River, which flows underground. There's the river Falgu. Falgu River, I think it's in Madhya Pradesh. I mean, what it is like this. In the rainy season, it's a riverbed and it runs through the country. And in the rainy season, it's full of water. You can see it. You can see it, touch it, drink it. The water is flowing. But then as it gets hotter and dries up and the rainy season finishes, then the water recedes into the ground, under the ground. You can't see it. So you see the sandy bank of the river. But if you push your hand through the sand, because it's soft sand, the riverbed, and only about a foot underneath the sand, the water is flowing, or maybe 2 feet, Prabhupada explained. So the water is flowing, but it doesn't appear to be flowing. So all we see is dry sand and no water. So most materialistic people, they only see dry sand and no water. They just say, oh, I'm being punished. I'm suffering. I don't see the undercurrent. Where's the compassion? Where's the compassion, the mercy of the Lord in all this? All I see is old age, disease, suffering, misery. So he's saying that this is, but it's there. He's saying it's there. It's flowing like the Falgu River. And he explains how. Since in the material world we face innumerable varieties of inconveniences, like obstacles, disturbances, dangers, misfortune, when our sense gratification is disturbed as a result, then we condemn the misuse of our independence as godlessness, which is the root cause of our threefold miseries, and we simultaneously develop a distaste for absorption in matter. At that time, we endeavor to search out our eternal benefit and freedom from material enjoyment, which is full of misery, and we remember the unlimited mercy of the lotus feet of our eternal Lord, Madhusudan, the deliverer from sins and calamities. The lesson we get from this is that to endeavor to enjoy or lord it over the material nature is an extremely foolish proposition. Remembrance of Krishna, who is Satchidananda Vigraha, and the cause of all causes, and engagement in His service based on remembrance is our eternal wealth and source of supreme benefit. So it's materialistic people that condemn the Lord for creating this material world and subjecting us to all the miseries here. And that's all they can see. They can only condemn. They don't actually see that there's a divine benediction to it all. And the Lord Himself, not only the analogy is the material world is like a prison, but this is a prison and we're suffering in this prison. But the cause of the suffering is what? Is who? It's us. And the cause is our forgetfulness of God, or our non-acceptance of God. Because His compassion is that what is this Falgu River of compassion that's actually flowing in the background of the material world? At any time, in any place, at least on the earth planet, we can actually turn our face to the Lord. And He comes here out of His own mercy. This is His compassion. His compassion, His mercy, is that God leaves the spiritual world and comes into this world to show His pastimes and to give His teachings. Whenever the Lord comes, He comes as a teacher. Because we're suffering due to ignorance. There's no other cause, only ignorance. So he comes as a teacher. Every avatar, every incarnation is teaching by his words, by his example, etc. So he's saying, listen, you're suffering, here's the way out. Follow this path. Think like this, act like this, speak like this. Eat these foods, engage in these activities, and you'll get freedom. You'll get out, you can get freedom. And not only that, you can even if you want to stay here, I will make an arrangement. You can even stay in this material world and live happily. Simply follow the principles of Arnasham Dharma, which I've given in the Shastra. So even if you like the material world and you want to stay here life after life, okay. But this, if you play it this way, you follow this set of rules and this pattern of life, then you can stay here life after life and be peaceful and happy, so-called happy. But as you become more intelligent, you might think, well, this world is okay. I've been staying here life after life. I remember my last life, and it was nice, and I was healthy and happy. But still, old age is there, and death is there, and these you built into this world. God has built these negative, let's say, features into this world to wise us up, to make us become wise. So we think, well, and then all the shastras are there. He gives us all the shastras, which explain, well, actually, if you become wise, you may think, well, this world is nice, and I'm enjoying here, but it comes to an end. And I have to start all over again. And I have to get old and diseased and then take birth, and this is suffering and miserable, and then I have to start again. Is there any proposition, is there any way where we can go to a world that never ends? Where we can enjoy happiness that doesn't stop? Where we can have relationships that are eternal? Is there another dimension? Is there another world beyond this one? This question may arise in the living entity. And then Krishna is answering with an affirmative yes. Brastas matubhavanya vyakta sanatan. There's sanatan dham, an eternal abode which is beyond all the manifested and unmanifested worlds. And you can come here. And I'll show you the way. Yeta mam prapadyante. You surrender unto me. Think of me. Become my friend. And worship me. And I'll bring you to me. Forever. You can live close to me, next to me. Forever. So it's the choice is yours. I'm not interfering with your independence. This is my love. This is what love means, to not interfere with someone's independence. And give you the freedom to be what you want to be. Right? But love means I give you the freedom to be what you want to be, but at the same time I support you. I nourish you, I support you, I encourage you, and your independence and your free will. So Krishna, even we say, okay Krishna, I don't want the spiritual world, I want the material world. Okay, fine. I'll give you all arrangements. I'll give you the water, I'll give you the air, I'll give you the intelligence, I'll give you the ability, I'll give you the schools, I'll give you the education. Learn, qualify, stay here, enjoy. It's all coming from Him. But if we're truly intelligent, then we'll say, okay, I understand all about this world, but I think you've got something other. There's another world also. Can I take part in that world? Oh, you want to? You want to come to this world? That? You want to go to the spiritual world? Really? What about your mother and father and grandmother and all? Well, no, I want them to come too. Oh, you want them to come too. Oh, okay. I'll become a pure devotee, and I'll take 21 generations back. I'll bring them all, even your dog and cat. They can come back too. Your dog, your cat, and your parakeet. Bring them all back. So, and this is His love. In love, He gives us full independence to make our choices as we want to choose, as we want to live. And at the same time, you make the choice, and He says, oh, you made the wrong choice. I'm withdrawing. No. You chose the material, I'm still with you. I'm still supporting you. I still support you and nourish you and uplift you and give you the ability, the intelligence, the strength, the power, everything to stay in the material world. It's because that's your choice. And this is love, freedom of choice, independence, but all support. It's like a father, he has a daughter, and so he gives some choice, independent. What do you want to do? You want to go to college? You want to get married? You want to be a housewife? You want to get in business? What do you want to do? I'll give you support. Oh, I have some good idea about business. I don't want to do any more school. I want to start a business. I have this idea. All right, here's 10 lakhs. Start the business. So it's your independence, but the father is supporting. He's not trying to say, no, you go like this way. No. I want you to go to college and get a degree. No, he's supportive. So who could be a better father than the Supreme Lord? So supportive. So that's why it's not fair to criticize God, say God is mean, we're mean to ourselves. You choose the wrong. If you choose to misbehave and break all the laws of government and take up dacoitry, then they put you in the prison. You say, "Oh, this country is terrible. Why they put me in a prison?" Because you can't live properly in a society, so you have to be segregated because you're acting crazy. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching, Mother Shachi. I don't know. She's obviously the preaching is for all of us. Because the Chaitanya Bhagavat is the Bhagavat for the Bengalis, let's say, because it's in Bengali, and they love it. The Bengali Vaishnavas, they love the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's their daily daily food. And any Gaudiya Vaishnava Samaj or group of devotees, the Chaitanya Bhagavat is the Bible. It's the Bengali Bible. Bengali Bible for the Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Charitamrita, very, 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 very few, very few Gaudiya Vaishnavas read Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's highly technical and lots of Sanskrit, and lots of deep philosophy, very esoteric. But, you know, the pandits, the scholars, the gurus, they study, obviously, to establish the Siddhanta and Praman, because it's supreme in that category. But for Leela and for Vaishnava behavior and how to interact and the sweetness of behavior and just the general viewpoint of the philosophy presented in a very palatable way, Chaitanya Bhagavat is the far supreme choice of the Bengali Vaishnavas. Every day they read Chaitanya Bhagavat, just like Christians maybe, or people, they may read the Bible every day, or some pious Hindus may read Gita every day, or Ramcharitamanas. For Gaudiya Vaishnavas, every day Chaitanya Bhagavat. So then they'll get the benefit of studying Kapila Sankhya philosophy. Without reading the Bhagavatam, they can read the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Because the same Vyasadeva is coming. Vyasadeva wrote Kapila's teachings, recorded them at least 5,000 years ago in Bhagavad Puran. Then he came again to favor the Bengali Gaudiya Vaishnavas. He spoke Sanskrit in the Bhagavatam. Now he's speaking Bengali. Because Vedavyas came as Vrindavan Das Thakur. He has two forms. So now he's giving the same message. Old wine in a new bottle. Giving the same message, but in a new package. Bengali. And they love it. You see, when all the Bengalis are sitting around together, they just relish the Bengali so much. You ever seen Manjari? When you see that, they'll just sit anywhere. They'll sit around Janma Mata's Baitak, a group of Babaji's, or a group of widows will sit around anywhere. You see all different places, wherever Vaishnavas gather. And they love to sit around and hear the Chaitanya Bhagavat. They hear with a passion. They love it. Over and over again, the stories. So nice. So here, this is like heavy stuff. Mother Sachi is getting the hardcore philosophy about jiva tattva, the precarious position of the jiva, how he's humbly praying for deliverance. And then Mahaprabhu goes on, or let's say Vishnubhara goes on. Hena kara krishne be dasya yoga diya, charane rakaha dasi nandana kariya. The baby goes on. It's quite a lot of prayers this little living entity is giving. O Krishna, please favor me with your service. Dasya yoga. Dasya yoga diya. Kara Krishna. Keep me at your lotus feet as the son of your maidservant. Dasi Nandan Kariya. The son of your maidservant. It's Dasya Yoga Diya. He's saying, give me this connection. Yoga means connection. So give me, please establish a connection between you and I. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to know you. I want to get to know you. I want to be connected with you. How? By being your servant. This is the best way to be connected with someone. Be the servant. Then, a more elaborated translation of the same points were given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Just as the son of a grihastha devotee's maidservant does not know anything from the time of his birth other than the service of the Lord, you should similarly always engage me in your unalloyed service, accepting me as the son of your dependent maidservant. then I may remain constantly engaged in your non-duplicitous service and never on a pretext of service become a master by forgetting you. Next verse. Bharika karahajadi edu karapar toma bhai tabe prabhu nachahimo ar. If you once deliver me from this miserable condition of life, then I will not desire anything other than you. So there it is. Imagine, because the questions were asked last time. Is these living entities offering these prayers, are these only Indians in the womb that are offering these prayers? Or is this also French babies and German babies and Russian babies? Or is it only human beings and not animals? It's only those jivas in the human form are offering these prayers. That's one point. But then any form, anywhere, Ruskies or Frenchies or Yankees, Ruskies, Frenchies, Yankees, whomever, wherever, those human little persons are, the seven-month-old jivas, they're offering these prayers. Please, get me out of here. Listen, sometimes someone's in a precarious situation and they say, if you save my life, if you get me out of here, I'll give you anything and everything. And then you do that, and then you remind them. They say, oh, but I said that because I was in duress. But now that I feel good, I can't. I told you if you got me out of here, I'd give you $1 million, but you didn't take it serious, did you? So sometimes we promise somebody anything if they get us out of distress. Look, I'll give you anything, just get me out of here. Really, can you sign that on stamp paper before I get you out of here? So Krishna is a little more merciful. He's taking us on, it's called a gentleman's agreement. A gentleman's agreement. Krishna's not whipping out any stamp paper in the womb and asking the baby to sign on a legal stamp paper and get it authorized or notarized or attested. He's simply saying, okay, you're saying that if I deliver you from this miserable situation, that you'll become my dasi or dasya, you'll become my servant and never forget me. And so it sounds like a good proposal. I'm willing to deliver you. So, okay, I deliver you. Then, I said that. No, I don't remember that. Because listen, I'm the center of the stage now. Mommy's picking me up, holding me and hugging me, and daddy, and I'm getting so many gifts and trinkets and noisemakers and rattles and... I forget it, man. When you're stuffed in a womb, you can say anything. You have to give me the benefit of the doubt. I mean, you would have done the same thing. Like, come on, Krishna. E mata garbhavase pode anakshan taho malavase Krishna samritira karan. In this way. So now, that's the last prayer. That's it, no more prayers. I heard about 15 prayers. The baby is quite eloquent. He has full knowledge of Bengali and poetry. He's quite a learned little guy. 7-month-old pundit. And he's reciting so many wonderful verses, and they're poetic and they rhyme. Para, ara, and all these things. Now he's finished his soliloquy to the super soul. And now Lord Chaitanya continues with the dialogue, now addressing directly his mother. In this way, the child constantly burns within the womb of his mother, yet he nevertheless likes this situation because he can think of Krishna. See, like we were saying earlier, the environment is friendly, pushing us towards Krishna, forcing us to surrender. So he's thinking, oh, this is a good place. I like this place here. It's dark and stinky and I'm upside down and I'm getting strangled by my umbilical cord and I can't breathe and all these little bugs are biting me and she keeps eating chili and garlic every other meal and the garlic is very hot and it burns me and then it doesn't smell good either and then then she eats all these chilies. I'm getting like hot hiney hot backside and she doesn't think it. She's so fired up. Now I'm fired up also. But anyway, it's good because I'm in pain. So no pain, no gain. So I'm in pain, so I'm gaining my Lord. I'm praying to my Lord. I'm begging for release. So Sananta Saraswati's purport is quite illuminating. This word taha is the word taho. Taho mpalavase Krishna samritirakaran. This means in spite of being burned by the miseries of residing in the womb. That's what that means. Although the intense pain of distress due to living in the womb, intense pangs of distress due to living in the womb are certainly intolerable. However, since that situation is endowed with the happiness of Krishna's service, because Vandanam is one of the Navavita Bhakti to offer prayers to the Lord. So when you're stuck in a corner and there's six tigers clawing at your face, it's a good opportunity, a good place to start praying, good time to start praying. You're stuck in the corner of a room and there's six tigers growling. Ah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Maybe you might call on the help of the big tiger. Narahari. Oh, Narahari. Oh, Bhagavan. Oh, Namo Bhagavate. Narasimhaya. Namaste. Jitesya. So the baby's saying, hey, this is a great place. This is a great place for praying. Not serving. Serving Krishna is praying. So this situation endows me with the happiness of Krishna's service. Therefore, the child accepts suffering in that condition as relishable and desirable. He's quite an advanced little guy. I mean, he's pretty precocious. For 7 months, he's got a good handle on the spiritual reality. What happened? We should have stayed where we were. We would have been much better off. Just stay there like Shukadeva Goswami, 16 years inside the womb. You'd still be in the womb. You wouldn't even be out yet. You wouldn't have had a good time. You could have been praying for 16 years. Stavera prabhave garbe dukkha nahipai kale pari bumite apana anichai. By the influence of his prayer, Mother Shachi, the child does not feel distress in the womb. And in due course of time, he reluctantly comes out. He's pushed out, thrown out, expelled. And the fire, what do they call it? The wind of Partrushan. What is it called? Partrushan? What do they call it? Partrushan? When they push the wind, pushing the child out? It's called Partrushan or Partrushan.
Parturishan.
So now, here he comes. You ready? It's actually us. This is your autobiography. Do you realize that? You and I were also praying like this. Deliver me from this miserable condition of life. I will serve you. And then, I didn't feel any distress. It was great. I was praying to the Lord. Oh, my Lord, Bhagavan, Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever you call him, depending on what language you had. But, oh, Lord, oh, Jesus, save me. And they have that little song. I don't care if it rains or freezes, as long as I got my plastic Jesus. And they have this little murti of Jesus made out of plastic, and he's standing, and he has a little rubber suction cup on it. This is a Christian, like in India, they buy deities of Ram or something like Durga, and they stick on their dashboard. Same thing is there in the West, in America, the Christians, they get this little Jesus, and he's standing like this or something like that. Everything's cool. He's got his hands like this, hands over the water, and you put it on your dashboard. Boom! Okay, now he's my guardian angel. He'll take care of everything. No speeding tickets, no parking tickets. So then once you install him, then you sing a song. I don't care if it rains or freezes, as long as I got my plastic Jesus. So you have your Jesus Murti there, so he's going to take care of everything. So now this is, so we didn't feel any distress when we were in the womb offering our prayers. We felt quite happy. It's a good place. Like a gufa. It's a bhajan gufa. Now, Vishwambhar tells his mother some more in the mood of Kapila. Shuna shuna mata, jiva tattvera samstan, bhumate padila matra haya agyan. Oh mother, listen mother. Listen attentively. Shuna shuna. Listen, which means hear attentively. About the living entity's condition. He loses consciousness on touching the ground. Jiva tattvera samstan. This refers to the state or situation of the materialistic conditioned soul who has forgotten Krishna. Because samstan means location or locus standi. Similar, English is similar. Stan, like we say, lila stan. Stan, place, position, location. And sam means completely or perfect or complete, samstan. So someone establishes something, it's called samstakacharya. They say samstaka iskan, sometimes they say in the Premdwani, samstakacharya, no, iskan samstakacharya, Nitya Lila Prashtam Ashtatara Sata Shishimat A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So he's the iskan samstakacharya, samstan. He's established his mission for the benefit of everyone, fortunately, for all of us. So this is, now that it's the jiva tattva samstan. The jiva is establishing himself. The jiva is establishing the truth of himself on the floor of the maternity room. You got it? He's establishing the truth of himself on the floor of the maternity room. In other words, he popped out of the womb and landed on the floor. Here I am. Wow. Sunlight. Daybreak. Prison break. Out of the darkness into the light. Tamasimam Jyotirgama. Wow, man, check it out. But he still can't even see. His eyes are closed. And how does he come into the world? With a slap on the back. Tong. Ah! You remember? You don't remember. His mother's all ears. Murchagata haya shane, shane kande swase, kahite na pare duka sagarete bhase. Sometimes he loses consciousness. Sometimes he cries. And sometimes he sighs. Unable to say anything, the baby floats in an ocean of misery. Duka sagar bhase. Wow, what a phrase. That's beautiful. Dukkha Sagar. Sagar means ocean. Kheer Sagar. It's not Kheer Sagar. Kheer means sweet rice. Ocean of sweet rice. Every brahmachari dreams about floating in an ocean of sweet rice. Kheer Sagar Bhase. Bhase means to float. Submerge, dive, swim, submerge. Ah. But Dukkha Sagar? Duke it out. Duk means the opposite of sukh, means unhappiness, sorrow, sadness, frustration, anxiety. This is it. Krishnera sevaka jiva, Krishnera mayaya, Krishna na bhajile e matta dukkha bhaye. It's like there's really good stuff going on here. It's the good news. It's very good news. Dinak samachar. Right, or Balo Samachar. Good news. By the illusory energy of Krishna, the servant of Krishna suffers in this way if he does not worship Krishna. So this is a very long purport. I'll just read one portion of the purport which caught my eye. This is a purport of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to verse 233, chapter 1. The living entity is bound around the neck by the chain of Maya because he has forgotten that he is Jivera Swarupaya Krishnera Nitya Das. He has forgotten that he is eternally a servant of Krishna. If the conditioned soul engages in the service of the Lord, and simultaneously carries out the orders of his spiritual master and serves him, he can get out of the clutches of Maya and become eligible for shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, so this is a, it's like, it seems to be a, Thakur, Saraswati Thakur is offering us a passport to freedom, a ticket. He's giving us the keys to the prison cell. You want to get out of here, put the key in the lock, open it, and walk out. That's what he's saying. If you meet this condition, if you say this prayer, then you get this result. You want to be free from the clutches of Maya? Then we should sincerely and seriously say this. Okay, everyone, you ready? Repeat after me. Now you listen. You can read it yourself in the book. My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. That's it. Say that, and you're out. Simple, huh? But it has to have backing. You have to believe it. You have to want it. You have to act accordingly. Due to bad association, the living entity desires material happiness, liberation, or merging into the impersonal aspect of the Lord. Or he engages in mystic yoga for material power. If such a person actually becomes intelligent, he takes to Krishna consciousness by engaging himself in intense devotional service to Lord Sri Krishna. Tivrena bhakti yogena. If those who desire material enjoyment or merging into the existence of the Absolute, if they engage in the Lord's transcendental loving service, they too will immediately attain shelter at Krishna's feet, although they did not ask for it. Krishna, therefore, is very merciful. When someone engages in Krishna's devotional service for the satisfaction of the senses and instead acquires a taste to serve Krishna, he gives up his material desires and willingly offers himself as an eternal servant of Krishna. Basically, he's paraphrasing a verse from second canto, Akama Sarvakamova Moksha Kama Udaridi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusamparam. That verse is telling, Shukadeva Goswami is saying, whether you're free from desire or sarvakama, you have so many desires and so many material desires to enjoy, you really want to enjoy, whatever your position is, it doesn't matter, serve Krishna. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. With determination, with enthusiasm, Tivrena. Means concentration, basically. Condensed, concentrated effort is Tivrena, Tivra. Tivrena, Bhakti Yogena. And then, what will happen? You approach Krishna because you have sarvakam, many of the material desires. Oh, the Bhagavatam is telling me I have many material desires. If I worship Krishna, I'll get fulfilled. Okay, that's good. I'll chant Hare Krishna, Krishna give me this, Krishna give me that. So then Krishna, he reciprocates, he gives you things. That's why people come to Giriraj. Why do you think all these lakhs and lakhs of people are doing prikama and dandabad? Do you think they're all praying for pure devotional service? Do you think so? You think they're all praying, Krishna, take away everything. Harishye. Harishye, there's one verse, Harishye. He says, anugrahaya. Anugrahaya harishye. He said, if I especially favor someone, anugraha, then harishye. Sarva harishye. I take away everything. It's in the 88th chapter of Bhagavatam. Everyone knows that verse. So they're, oh Krishna, oh Giriraj, please take away everything. Please make me your unalloyed servant. All I want is your pure devotion, life after life. I'm fed up, I'm tired, I'm just, please accept. Maybe one out of 25 million people that come to Govardhan is praying like that. Most everyone is going around praying, please give me a new car, give me a new job, new husband, new wife, new kids, or new house, or more of this, that, the other thing. Then Giriraj is giving also. Giriraj is giving. Go Vardhan. Go means sense enjoyment, senses. Vardhan means increase. Govardhan means increase the sense enjoyment. So he increases the sense enjoyment. Hey, why do you take the trouble to go to Vaishnavi? It's dangerous, it's such a long way. Hey, look, I've been going to Govardhan every Saturday night doing Parikrama, and I tell you, it really works. He's really paying off. This, you can offer pranams to Vaishnav Devi, but you know, Govardhan and Vaishnav, they're like sister and brother, they're like the same. You know? Save your time. It's only 2 hours drive your AC car down to Govardhan, park, walk around 5 hours, you just pray whatever you want, you'll get it. There's so much trouble to go to J&K to go to Vaishnav Devi, forget it. So that now you see, there's so few people going to Vaishnav Devi. And where are they going? They're all coming to Govardhan. Giradharnaki! So Giraj, Vaishnav Devi is being rejected by the Punjabis. They're not rejecting, but they're not going. They're all coming. They go, but so many don't go. They come here. Have you seen? And those who've been doing Govardhan Parikrama for 30 years, and they know when you used to do Parikrama, you could walk for 5 kilometers, not see anybody. On Saturday night or Sunday morning, not see anyone for 5 kilometers. Maybe some Babaji way in the distance or some old widow or something. Now you can't walk without tripping over some housewife or whatever. And they're not all Shuddha Bhaktas. They're all Prakriti Bhaktas. Anyway, so this is Giraj is very merciful. So now what Siddhanta Saraswati is saying, Krishna is like kind of he's doing a little jadu, a little magic. Yes, yes, worship me, come on, whatever you want. Come on, worship me, come on. Do Parikrama, pray. And he gives and he gives. And then along with giving, fulfilling the material desires, then Giraj, he puts a little tiny drop of cyanide. It gives you nectar, but it gives you a little bit of desire to become detached. So you start getting these things from Giriraj. Giriraj gave me this and that. Then one day all of a sudden you think, actually, maybe there's something more than material enjoyment. Maybe there's something more than material possessions. And that is the little bit of mercy that Krishna is mixing in his gifts. Little secret mix. But when you go to Vaishnav Devi or any Durga, they only give you the goods. They give you the goods. They don't give you any mercy. That mercy is an inclination to see the light, that inspiration to see through the material acquisition, to see through material aggrandizement and position and collection and achievement, and to realize there is something more than Maya. There's God, the service of God, the spiritual world. And then the person says, for years I was coming to Govardhan doing Parikrama and only asking for this and that, and he was giving me. And then one day I thought, I should just do Parikrama and just the whole time I should hire some people to chant on a bullock cart, and I'll walk behind them and I'll just chant Krishna's glories the whole way around. I don't have any desires. I don't want anything. I just want to please Krishna by singing his glories and take my whole family around behind the bullock cart. And then he starts doing that. Then he begins his life of pure devotional service. So this is what he's saying here, that Krishna, when someone engages in Krishna's devotional service for material things, instead of what happens, he acquires a taste for serving Krishna. Then when he gets that taste, bhakti ruchi, seva ruchi, then automatically he gives up his material desires and he willingly offers himself as an eternal servant of Krishna. So this is a special dispensation of Krishna's mercy. That when you come to him, he gives you really the best thing. What he really wants to give you is his love. And that's eternal. Most satisfying. There's nothing more satisfying and fulfilling than love. So that we think all these other things are more important, or more necessary, at least at the moment. So we get those, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute, and then we can aspire for Krishna's love. So this is a great... People now, all these people are coming around. That's why all these gurus are coming here and setting up ashrams. All these gurus of various faith traditions are setting up ashrams and all around Govardhan Parikrama Marg, because they're going to pick up all those people when they become serious. You know, when they're walking around and saying, actually, Giraj, I think I should find a guru and stop all this enjoyment. Look, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Temple. Let me go in here and see. Let me just stop my prickling, walk in here and see what's going on. I'll take some prasanna. You know, I have some questions. Now, what is this Hare Krishna? Why are you guys? What's this all about? And then he ends up, you know, getting initiated by that acharya or guru or whatever, and starts his pure life and devotional activities. And then Giriraj gives his real heartly gift. What Giriraj wants to really give everyone is the eternal service of Radha and Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? We'll stop here. Yeah, demigods, they're, as you said, he was making the point that devas, the suras, or the primal, the 33 primal demigods, and there are a thousand, I guess a million expansions from each one. There's 33 primal demigods, and then all their assistants, air god, water god, fire god, etc., Agni, Chandra, Vayu, Surya. They're all devas, they're all suras, devotees of Vishnu. And Durga, of course, is a great pure devotee of Vishnu. And generally they worship Shiva and Durga. And people worship them, and since they're Vaishnavas, why don't they give their worshippers more than just material benefits? Why don't they also bestow upon them the fortune of serving God as they are also doing themselves? And the answer is that they are delegated to act in that particular capacity by the Lord. And moreover, they don't want to interfere. Because the demigods have a neutral relationship. The demigods have a neutral relationship with the jivas. And they don't want to interfere with their independence. Like the man across the street, he may have a neutral relationship with you. He's like friendly. But your father, you can't say your father has a neutral relationship. He has a very active relationship. Very concerned. So the demigods, they maintain their neutrality. You come to them and say, give me this and give me that. They say, oh, you stupid fool. You know, I'd like to give you Krishna. Anyway, you want that, then you take that. So they don't interfere with your independence. They don't interfere with your independence. They don't try to redirect your thinking. They simply they fulfill your desire, boss. But Krishna, because they feel that, well, this jiva, He's Krishna's. That's his department. If he wants to intercede or interfere with their independence, that's his role. But I that's not my role. My role is to do my duty to give him this benefit, that benefit, and I'll do that. So we see that the Lord, he has an intimate loving connection with every jiva. Mamayvam cho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. There are all these eternal parts and parcels. He has this anugraha. He has this extra quality of he's concerned. And he has a connect because we're his. He has mamta. The demigods don't have mamta for us. They don't have a sense of possession that we're theirs. They think, okay, we're order suppliers. But Krishna's thinking, you're mine. You're my part and parcel. He has mamta, feeling of possession. And I'm giving your independence, but it hurts me. I mean, you're off there in the material world, but I can't, it hurts me, I can't tolerate it. So then he comes repeatedly, age after age he comes. Why does he have to come here? He comes here to teach us and to show us. Show and tell. It's the original show and tell. He comes here to show us his pastimes and tell us about himself and tell us how to end our suffering and join again with him in yoga. Yoga means a link, because we have an eternal link with God. So the demigods, they're happy with their service and they don't want to interfere. So that's basically the... But Krishna, he's the Bhagavan, he interferes. That's why it's said, that's why he makes a speciality. Yes, come on, you're worshipping demigods. Ah, forget it, Sarva Kama, you have whatever, you're full of all desires. Come on, come to me, I'll give you everything. Oh, really? You're saying you'll give everything if I worship you. Tivraina Bhakti Yogin. Okay, let me try. But then he's like, he's a little tricky. Demigods aren't tricky. You worship them, they give you. But Krishna's a little tricky because of love. Sometimes the mother, she has to trick her child. And then someone might say, oh, you tricked your child. You told him it was candy. But actually it was medicine. And you took the goalie and you rolled it in sugar and said, "Oh, it's a toffee." You take it, you swallow it. Oh yeah, now you suck in a little bit and swallow. Sometimes somebody, "Oh, you cheated your son. Why you gave him, you didn't give him. You said it was a toffee. Actually it was sugar. Inside was a bitter goalie." Yeah, shh. Don't tell. Because love then she has to trick him. It seems like she's tricking or even lying. So it seems like, "Hey, Krishna, you double-crossed me. Krishna, you double-crossed me." They use the term, "double-crossed me. You cheated me. You told me if I worship you, you'll give me everything. So I worship you, gave me so many things. Now all of a sudden, I don't care about anything anymore. I have some interest in you. What is this? You did some jadu, some whammy on me? What is this?" All these other demigods, they didn't do anything. They didn't enlist me and become one of their guys. And I mean, I just took what I wanted and went my way. You tricked me. Now you're making me chant Hare Krishna. No, it's really good for you. You should try it. You'll feel happy. So this is the loving concern that Krishna has. It interferes. He tricks us. He interferes with our independence. He comes here. He displays his lila. He teaches. He gives so many sacred books and literatures. And says, "Here, take it. That proves the greatness of Krishna. That's why he's supreme. The demigods are subordinate. They don't have that anugraha. They're busy. Why they don't want to take the trouble? You have to take. God's taking a lot of trouble on our behalf. Demigods, because the demigods are busy enjoying themselves. Why should they take the trouble? You want this? Okay. Oh, yeah. Who's this guy offering puja? Hey, Shiva, who's this guy saying Ono Shva? I don't know. Just give him whatever he wants. Okay. Tell him not to bother me. I'm watching TV. So then she just gives him whatever he wants. And then they don't take his case into personal consideration. Think, what can we do for this guy? Really help this guy? Because they're busy with their own lives. But Krishna, a big part of his life is rescuing jivas. And he even comes, Radha and Krishna come and take that as a specific mission themselves. The heart's mission is Mahaprabhu. Demigods, they don't want to go to trouble. Indra's also busy enjoying, but you worship him for something, okay. Who's this guy? Take it. All right, no. No, he wants to get back to his enjoyment. But Krishna stops his lila, stops his enjoyment, and comes here. You know, and becomes a pig. Becomes a pig to pick up the earth, because the earth gets in trouble. You think the demigods are going to become a pig to help you? Forget it. And now, does that show the difference between a demigod and Krishna? How much anugraha, how much compassion? The earth fell in a stool in the bottom of the universe. So the only form that can pick up stool is a pig. So he picked it up on the end of his nose, because that's what they do. But he took the form of that, out of his love. Why demigods could pick up the earth? That's not a big deal. Why didn't the demigods come? They said, "Hey, we're not going to touch the thing." They went to Vishnu. Even the demigods, when the earth fell in the garbhagriha ocean, picking up the earth is not a big deal. I mean, Atlas can do it. I mean, Charles Atlas can hold up the earth. What to speak of the demigods? But they didn't do it. They didn't want to get their hands dirty. But God is willing to get his hands dirty. You know, Prabhupada is willing to go to the Bowery, get his hands dirty to help people. This is the Karuna of the Krishna's devotees. They go anywhere and everywhere to give the love. So God is the reservoir of love. The demigods are also bogies. They're Vaishnavas, but they're Vaishnava bogies. They're not Vaishnava preachers. They're not Vaishnava pracharaks. Of course, they also preach in their own right. I mean, Shiva's written so many wonderful prayers and glorification of Radharani, etc. So they're also preaching in different ways. But in general, they're seen as supply givers. But ultimately, they can't give anything without the sanction of Vishnu. They take your order. They take your order. You give the order to them. Like you give the order to the waitress, then she gives it to the cook. And the cook makes the dinner and then gives it to the waitress and she puts it on your table. So the demigods are like the waitress. The cook is Krishna. He's actually giving all the things and they're just delivering them. Right? Is that all right?
Father, I'm trying to understand the consciousness of the baby in the womb. You mentioned that the baby can remember the previous births. And also, you know, I've heard that as soon as the baby comes out and once it's under the three modes of material nature, it forgets everything. So is it in a liberated state, saying all these prayers? And then what is it really wanting? Is it wanting like just sarupya mukti, salokya mukti? Or is it wanting bhakti? Or what is really the consciousness of the baby?
Well, if we take these prayers as find the answer for your question from these prayers and also Kapila's teaching, the baby is a devotee. Right? Jivara Surupaya Krishnara Nityadas. Jiva means living entity. Whether you have the body of a cockroach or whatever you have, every living entity is a devotee of God, a servant of Krishna. Right? So what these prayers are indicating that it's all about bhakti. He's doing vandanam. He's praying. He says, I'm doing really well. I'm really well situated here. I'm in the Vrindavan temple. I'm a pujari. I'm worshipping a deity every day and chanting. Why should I go anywhere? I'm doing good. I'm doing nice. I'm always remembering Krishna. So he's in the womb and he's doing bhakti. This is my bhajan kutir. I'm doing fine. I remember my past lives, I was in a horrible situation, and I also know I'm going to get kicked out of here. So that's why one of his prayers is, look, I know I'm getting out of here because I'm being born. This is born. I'm being born. So when I come out of here, I hope I'm surrounded by devotees. I hope you put me in a place where, remember that prayer? He says, I want to be born amongst the devotees where your topics are being spoken, where kirtan is being performed. He doesn't know when they open the door, he doesn't know where he's going to be. When they open the door of the womb, is he going to be in Harlem or with a bunch of drug addicts? Or, you know, his father's going to be a dope pusher or what? And so he's not sure of what the future is. So he knows where he is now. And he's a devotee. Devotees don't ask for any liberation. Right? It says, Nadana Najanana Sundaram Kavitam Vajagadisha Kame Mama Janamani Janamani Shri Bhavajan Bhakti Haitagadi. So he's not. The baby, he's not asking for liberation. So as far as, you know, what kind of liberation is he seeking or asking for, he's already there. He's engaged in Krishna's service. He's praying to the Lord. I think everyone's followed these prayers. He's in the womb. He's absorbed in praying to the Lord. By praying to the Lord, he's remembering him. And he feels, this is fine. And then if I stay here, it's fine. I'm remembering you. That's what he's saying, as long as I can remember you. That's all he wants. That's what he said in the prayers. All he wants is to remember you. In the womb, I remember you. Or outside the womb, I remember you. Wherever I go, I remember you. This is bhakti, Krishna smaranam. Satatam smaratam, satatam smaratam, satatam Vishnu. You should always remember the Lord. So the child in the womb, he's engaged in bhakti. Devotional service, and he's remembering the Lord, and he's praying to the Lord, and that's vandanam, one of the forms of devotion. He doesn't want anything more than that. That's why Shukadeva stayed 16 years. Shukadeva stayed 16 years in the womb of Padmavati, Vyasa's wife, because he knew, well, if I come out now I'm in a good situation. I'm doing my bhajan, it's really nice. So if I go back to Moscow, I don't know, I have to work and get a job, and I got to make money and just deal with these guys. You know. But now I'm in a good position here. So I'm not coming out. You know, somehow he conveyed to Vyasadeva or something, through telepathy or something. He conveyed to Vyasadeva, he's not coming out unless I get it. Or he spoke, actually he spoke from in the womb. Vyasadeva heard him, he said, I'm not coming out unless you can guarantee that I won't be a Maya. So Vyasadeva said, yeah, I guarantee you won't be in Maya. He said, I don't believe you. You have to bring Krishna here. If you bring God here, if God comes here and tells me, then I'll believe it. So then Vyasadeva brought Krishna. Krishna said, hey, look, come on out. I'm here, Haribo. It's me, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. And if you come out, you won't be in Maya. I guarantee you won't be in Maya. So he said, okay, and he came out. He wasn't in Maya. He was Brahman realized. He emerged in Brahman. Didn't wear any clothes. He didn't see any duality, he didn't see a mad woman, anything. He was absorbed in Brahman. Then he ran away. Then he heard two verses from Bhagavatam. Then he got attracted. He gave up that Atmaram Munio, Atmaram Ashtamunio. Then he became inclined towards bhakti. Then he came back and heard the rest of the Bhagavatam. So the child's in the womb. He's doing really nice. Bhakta baby. He's in the Bhakta program. Is that clear?
Well, I still have one doubt, Maharaj.
Yes.
That, you know, such a shift in, because we're talking about everybody. This is not only Gaudiya Vaishnava.
This is jivas. This is jivas. Not anybody. This is jivas. No Vaishnava. Vaishnava is jivas.
So this jiva, you know, when he leaves his body, he has so many desires and his consciousness is so contaminated. Now when he gets another, after going through hellish, you know, hellish time, he gets another birth, he's in the womb, and now his consciousness...
Human birth.
His consciousness has shifted so much and his desires have become so pure. And then, if his desires have become so pure and his consciousness is elevated to such a level, then why does he have to take a birth again? If he's only
First of all, he's in the womb because it was karma. And he's going to take a birth and receive a body because it was karma also, it was purva karma. Now, it doesn't mean if you pray to the Lord and have a high realization that you're free from karma. Because he's suffering so intensely, because he has some sanskaras, apparently he's had one human birth, whatever. In this human form of birth, the jiva has evolved to receive a human form. So part of that evolution is that his samskaras of devotion have somewhat entered his chitta, his consciousness. So now, there's a few, but there's a whole lot more samskaras for enjoyment. So the samskara, in this particular junction in time, the samskaras for devotion, which are eternally part of the soul, you can say. And so when those samskaras for devotion, in the human form, they have a chance to fructify. So now in this precarious position of suffering, the jiva in the womb, those samskaras are activated. Impressions, tendencies, directions. And he starts praying to the Lord because he has an eternal connection. Every jiva has an eternal connection with the Lord, and every jiva is an eternal servant of the Lord. So finally, in the human form, he can have some idea about that. And he has a very clear idea about it in the womb. But still he has this whole pocket full of material desires, and his whole pocket full of material, you know, aspirations, and a whole pocket full of material sanskaras that are going to carry him into his next body and then distract him from this pure prayer, which was at this time, like they say, when someone's suffering they turn to God. As soon as they're not suffering, then what do? They turn back to Maya. That happens even when you're out of the womb. And you're suffering. It's, well, this guy's going to church every day and he's praying day and night. He's really godly. You know, and then all of a sudden somehow he had some disease, a cancer, he's going to die in 7 days of cancer. I hope God save me. All of a sudden, wow, the cancer remitted. I'm saved. Okay, all right, let's enjoy it. So for those 7 days, he seemed like he was a pure devotee. He was in the church day and night, praying. And when anybody see him, say, oh, look, he's a pure devotee. He's free from all material desires. Day and night, he's praying to God. But wait a minute, what about all the samskaras? He has so many more samskaras that are called Prarabdha Karma. That stage means what's going to fructifying in this life. So this baby has all kinds of Prarabdha Karma in his pocket also. That's why he's in a womb, because he has a material samskaras. He has a material body. And then that body's going to come out. And then when he comes out of the womb, he has that material body and all those material samskaras which have to unfold and reveal themselves one by one. And then if he continued to keep up bhakti, then he could deal with all those samskaras in a devotional way. And he would suffer and enjoy, but he would be connected with Krishna. And that's what happens when you turn to Krishna. You still have your samskaras are coming on you. Your prarabdha is still coming forward on your head, but you're responding to it from a devotional viewpoint. And you're remembering Krishna, and you're going on serving Krishna, although the prarabdha is still fructifying. You can't stop that.
Maharaj, he's not engaged in any devotional service, he's only praying.
Like that is devotional service. You have to sweep the temple to be devotional service. You have to go on life membership to be devotional service. Do you know what devotional service is? What is devotional service? You don't know. Devotional service means to act in such a way, anyabhya lashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanamritam, anukulyena krishnanu, anukulya, Anukalyena Krishnanu. Krishnanu, Anu means Anushilanam. Anushilanam, Krishna Anushilanam. Shilanam means cultivation. Anu means one after the other. So act, and Anukul means favorable. Anukul. So to act in such a way, moment by moment, that you give satisfaction and pleasure to Krishna. In any way, by your thinking. If you're just sitting and thinking, that's pure bhakti. If you're just thinking of pleasing Krishna or doing, oh, I'm making a garland for Krishna, I'm offering to him. That's Manasi Seva. That's devotional service. So he's in the womb, he's envisioning Krishna, Chaturbhuj Narayan, he's seeing Krishna, and he's offering prayers. That's perfect. You don't have to cook an offering, you don't have to sweep the temple, you don't have to go on life membership, you don't have to go sell paintings. And this is perfect. Moment to moment, he's thinking of Krishna and with a favorable attitude, and he's pleasing Krishna by his prayers. He's doing devotional service. What is your idea? Yeah, he has to do something more.
The confusion is still there, it's connected to the same thing, only that why doesn't he then immediately when he comes out, then he should...
You're not understanding. If he was a pure devotee, he wouldn't be in the womb. You follow? So he's offering prayers, so that's the result of his sanskara for bhakti or devotion. And of course that's inherent in the jiva to have a connection with God. And when the jiva takes a human form of life, it's an opportunity to become aware of his connection with God. Only humans can become aware of God, no other form. So then he's saying this prayer, but he has a whole pocket full of material desires that is why he got this body of the baby. Those desires have made this body. The nose, the eyes, the tongue, the mind. It's full of material desires. Now when he comes out of the womb, all his material desires must fructify. They must fructify. Unless he takes up pure bhakti and he can purify of all, remove all those material desires. But what happens is he forgets. He forgets Krishna. He forgets his prayer. And what does he remember? And what does he act on? All of his material samskaras and impressions which are in his chitta or his consciousness. Then he thinks, I'm Punjabi, I'm a girl, I'm a baby girl, I have to go to school. And all these, because he had all these desires to do all these things, now he's gotten the body to fulfill all those desires. It's not that you say a prayer, you're absorbed in Krishna, it doesn't mean it's not, it's not like that.
Yeah, like you said, no devotional service, thinking or in mind offering something, all is devotional service. As well as doing practically, sweeping floor or something, is also a devotional service. So my question is,
sweeping a floor, if it's Krishna, not sweeping a floor, sweeping a Krishna's floor, the temple floor. I mean, not every bhangi is doing devotional service. You're sweeping the temple floor, and it's for the pleasure of Krishna and the devotee. I mean, whatever you're doing externally, you have to have the mental and heart connection with Krishna and the devotees to make it devotional. Otherwise, it's work.
And so both on the same level, thinking and mind. And
yes, fully the same level. In terms, the thing is, the level, when you talk about level, you're talking about pleasure to Krishna.
Yes.
Activity, mental, subtle, gross, mental or physical activity, which is done for the pleasure of Krishna, directly to give him satisfaction or his pure devotee. And that's what you're doing. At the same time, your attitude, your position of your heart is favorable, that I want to do this for his pleasure. Nothing for me, everything for his pleasure, for his happiness. So then it's pure bhakti. Or they're just sitting around in a chair. Hey, what are you doing? You're just sitting in a chair all day. You're not doing anything. Do some practical service. Clean a temple. Take out the trash. It's not like this. It's perfect. Krishna fully, perfectly, you get full, the same 100% benefit if you just sit in a chair all day and think of Krishna. Or you run, but generally we can't do that, so we run all around the place. The Guru engages us accordingly. So we want to have a little bit of Radharas Sudhanidhi because it's our schedule. We may have about 5 minutes worth. Everyone wants too much philosophy and not too much Ras. And that's actually, the next verse is very interesting. By the illusory energy of Krishna, the servant of Krishna suffers in this way if he does not worship Krishna. And then it says, in due course of time, the child develops intelligence and knowledge, and if he worships Krishna, he's surely fortunate. Maybe we'll get to that tomorrow. We're stuck up in the womb for a long time. Feel like we're in, we're all in the womb. There's so many days discussing this one thing. Reality tours, Discovery Channel. This is a real discovery.